Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday, and welcome to another episode of the Event Hustler Show. Today is my birthday, so I'm very excited that I get to have an amazing guest today, not only someone who I respect on the business side, but Maya and I have been friends for many years. We worked together at Columbia University, and we've had the opportunity to get to know each other in all kinds of ways over the years. And so I thought, who would be a better guest today than Maya Haridat? So Maya, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much. And happy, happy, happy birthday. What a testament to how hard you work that on your birthday, we're going to be having an Event Hustler show. I absolutely love this.
No, you got to do what you love. Hang out with people you like to hang out with. If you got to work on your birthday, you might as well make it fun, right?
Good deal. I feel honored then. I feel honored.
So as I mentioned, you and I worked together at Columbia University. Mm-hmm. You had a few different roles and I had a few different roles during our time there. And you and I can talk for decades. So it's going to take a while to narrow it down into 30 minutes. But my favorite Columbia University story I'm going to tell.
Which one?
Well, our office was at the bottom of a very staircase, and then there was a ridiculously long hall all the way to the back, and Maya and I both had offices all the way in the back, so we always talked about the fact that there could, you know, in a university setting, we used to talk about, like, what if there was a school shooting or what if there was a fire? We would never be able to escape. So Maya had once told us that if ever she saw someone run past her office, she would just drop everything she was doing and just run. She wouldn't even ask anyone where they were going or what happened. So there was another colleague, Kyle, and myself, we used to always joke about just running past her office. That's one of my favorite Columbia stories on top of, oh, Friday. We used to go for, like, just eat tons of fries at Five Guys.
We totally did. And all of the adventures with Ollie's, who is no longer there now, which totally breaks my heart.
Chinese food. Can't go wrong with Chinese food.
You can't.
And then we both escaped that organization. Yay! And have run our own companies. You were actually running your own company before you were working at Columbia.
I was. I am forever grateful for having started my business when I was younger, because I think as I've gotten older, I would not have the courage to do it. So I'm forever grateful for having taken that crazy leap years ago.
You know what? I think that too. I think if it was, you know, if it's something you're doing later in life, there's just a lot more at stake. It's a lot to do.
It is. One of the challenges that I see right now in the marketplace is that you have to be willing to make change quickly and to pivot. And I think if you start that at a younger stage where you, like, you're screwing up all the time and it's like, okay, well, you know, just another day in the neighborhood. I see when I'm delivering classes and workshops, people really struggling with that because they haven't had the chance to make those mistakes. So I am forever grateful for having started it prior to that role there. And then now it's just been able to kind of just move forward based upon those experiences, which is pretty cool.
So why don't you tell everyone what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I wear many hats, but I think the two that I would most speak about is that I work as a speaker and as a coach, and really educating entrepreneurs and those that want to have an entrepreneurial mindset, how to uncover what they don't know that they don't know. And so what that means in a nutshell is I want to help people dive in deep on the questions that they're not asking, that they're not thinking about. But those are the things that when you plant those roots in the ground, like, I mean, that's actually the testament to what we're talking about right now. We did a number of things a number of years ago that are now literally reaping rewards right now that at the time weren't hot and sexy. Maybe people didn't even pay attention to it, or I know I've done a bunch of things I didn't even pay attention to, but I can look back now and I continue to keep getting clients coming in. I continue to keep getting business, people putting new projects and new ideas in my lap. And I think it's those skills that when you think long-term and you have someone there to help you put that plan in place, like, it's amazing what can happen.
Yeah. So right before this call, every other week, I have the Ignite chat. And so I always mention them because it's just, it is insane to me how you could talk about one thing. Mm-hmm. In the next conversation, you talk about the exact same thing. So we were literally only briefly talking about consistency. Mm-hmm. and how when you kind of know where you want to be in business and you know who you are, then it's about just doing it long enough for everyone else to realize. And, you know, for those opportunities to kind of reap the rewards. It's all the unsexy,
yep,
very consistent stuff,
yep,
that builds your business. And I also shared in one of the groups this week, one of the many groups I'm part of, mm-hmm, that famous quote, you know, a year from now, you'll wish you had started now. You know,
yes,
looking back and thinking like, man, I lost a whole year. So what are some of the things in your business that you did consistently that you felt like nobody was paying any attention to, but you just kept doing it, that have reaped some reward for you?
Sure. So I think the first one that came to mind when you said that is finding ways to build long-term relationships. So I have a service-based business. I get hired to come in to be able to speak. I get hired. Hey, Bonnie, good to see you. Mm-hmm. I get hired to work with people individually for coaching. And soon I'm going to be launching some e-courses. Finally, I've done them for clients, but finally going to do it for myself. And I think the thing that has been able to sustain me throughout the years, and also I know works for the clients that I work with, is finding ways to build meaningful long-term relationships. You can still engage and connect with people, to be frank, to find out what problems do they need solving. I just finished a client call this morning where they asked me to basically create a manual for all of their students that looks so radically different than the work that I did with them 10 years ago. But it's a testament to, if you keep talking to people and you build long-term relationships and you keep listening, what are the problems that they need to be solved? And I think that's the key. The problems are going to change from year to year. Their budgets are going to change. But as long as you're listening to that and people feel like there's a genuine relationship, then they'll be willing to work with you and others that come into your business. And that, I think, I wish I could say there's a secret sauce, but that I think is it right there, is just build those long-term meaningful relationships.
You know, and you and I, full disclosure to the audience that's watching, and by the way, if you are watching, like Bonnie, feel free to put your comments and questions in, and we get happy to bring those on screen. But for everyone who's watching, Maya and I actually got together for coffee last week. Mm-hmm. And what was it, like 3 hours?
We were
taking over Starbucks for the whole afternoon. It was supposed to be a morning meeting, and then it was like past lunchtime.
It was good.
And, we were talking about the same concept of the long-term relationships and how that really matters, and the systems that are required,
yes,
to keep that. Because, you know, I mean, you meet so many people over the years. And I was telling you, I feel like I've lost connection with so many like past clients or potential clients, because you just get busy with the next thing. And then you forget that there's all this money that could still be sitting there, mm-hmm, from people that you met 5 or 10 years ago who maybe hired you for a small thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that system is really difficult, but I think you do a much better job than I do about kind of systematizing those relationships so that you don't forget people. Cause honestly, you don't have to automate it, but you do have to have some kind of system.
Well, I appreciate you applauding me that I have a system, because that's still a work in progress.
Well, it is for all of us.
It is. I think that there are a couple of things that I think you can systematize. One of the things that I have been much more intentional about is being much more active in LinkedIn, of not only commenting to people that are influencers and people that I want to connect with or people in my network, but also being more active about sharing what it is that I'm doing and a little bit of the why behind it. I think that's another secret sauce to having a business that you can have over a period of time. People have to know what sets you apart and why you're different. And so, you know, just thinking of your audience right now, everyone I'm guessing that's on this call is probably somewhat connected to the events industry, which is great. So when people hear that, they're like, okay, great, you're working in the events industry. What do? A planner or whatever the role may be. But your why, and you telling that why on a regular basis and finding ways to both intentionally put it out there, i.e. a LinkedIn, Facebook post. Even when I post on Facebook about my business, I'm trying to do it in a very specific way of giving you a little bit of behind the scenes behind it. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, sometimes it's just pictures and that's fine, but people want to know that why. And I think doing that, plus just finding ways to have those meaningful conversations, those 3-hour-long Starbucks chats. when you combine those two things together and then listen, 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 listen. I think that the more I really look at it has been the key to my success, is listening to what is it that the problem that people really have and solving that problem. Not the problem you want, the problem they need to be solved.
Yeah, it's a good thing. We were talking about how like branding is what other people think of you. Like, mm-hmm, you could say you're the best at whatever, but if no one thinks that, then it doesn't really matter.
Totally.
You're going to make money off something just because you said you were the best at it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times when it comes to like the opportunities that come up in regards to like all the different things that we could be doing as a business, it's a fine balance between listening and understanding what the audience wants and kind of like adding to that the piece that they don't even know.
Sure.
You need. And I know your big tagline is, you know, what people don't know, they don't know about business. Mm-hmm. What are some of those things that you've realized people just don't even realize they need to know? X, Y, and Z.
Oh gosh. The list is like 500 feet long. The one that drives me crazy right now, I think, is that because in this marketplace, everything is like quick hit. So it's like, how do I get 10,000 fans on Instagram? How do I, get 3,000 customers tomorrow and make $1 million? The biggest one overall is that in order to do a lot of these things, you have to put together a plan. And a plan could be as simple as it's on one sheet of paper. A plan could be as complicated as you're trying to go after investor financing. But I think figuring out what that plan is, and then the stories that we're hearing right now, people often are not pulling back the covers to figure out how people did what they did. So who was on that team that got that person to the $1 million overnight? Like, that's who I want to know. Like, what was their strategy? What was their plan? Were they already in the industry and this was their second time at the business and now they already had the networks, they just didn't have the right product? That puts you in a very different place than for a lot of people where you're first just getting started and you have to try to build your community and who your people are and then figure out like, what do I do and all that good stuff. Yeah. So I think the key is, you know, putting together a plan. And then I led into the next one, which is having really good people behind you on your team. So one that I think often doesn't get talked about is the financial piece. Do you have someone looking over your numbers? And I mean, not just at tax season, like, oh crap, I owe money. How do I do this? But right now at this time of year, you know, there are a lot of accountants that literally put their shingle up and they're like, I'm out of office for the summer. But this is actually the best time frame to have your accountant sit down and look over your numbers and help you project what you could be doing for the upcoming year, or just talk about things you don't know about. A big thing I've been sharing with a lot of my classes now is I need everyone that starts a business to open up some sort of a retirement account, a SEP IRA, a solo 401k. And I don't care if you put $5 from each opportunity that you have, each check that comes in, just put something in there. And then more importantly, talk to your accountant about what the benefits and the pros and cons are. If you don't have that right team in place, and so I will pay money for an accountant that is expensive because I want the long-term perspective. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just make, you know, great, I land a client, I earn 10K, 20K. That's beautiful. I'm excited. Don't get me wrong. But how can I leverage that 10 and 20K for the long-term? Because if I'm just doing a bunch of jobs, you get tired. I mean, I know this is a big conversation, especially for people as they start to age. You're starting to think about like, well, I have a family and I don't have the same amount of time. How do I leverage things? If you're thinking from that long-term perspective from day one and you get the right team in place that can help you do that and really make that happen, like hint, hint, put money away in your retirement because there's a lot of great things you as entrepreneurs can do with that, right? Plus it helps on your taxes. That's where you get to be able to leverage opportunities that that people who are working just as an employee and only thinking for the short term can't do. I think that's what a lot of folks are missing.
Yeah, I recently, in the last 6 months or so, reread the Profit First book.
It's good.
It's like amazing. The mm-hmm. one thing he was talking about, you know, you do your taxes at the end of the year and there shows a profit and you're like, but where's the money?
Yep.
It's not actually like profit that I'm taking home. And it was shocking to think about the fact that we've run businesses for all this time, mostly looking to just get a salary, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Work for your own company.
Yep.
What would it look like to actually have like money in retirement accounts and profit accounts that you can use as rewards to yourself for the work that you've done? And so I've been spending time kind of like reshifting my bank accounts and stuff. And to your point, having a good team is a critical piece of that. Mm-hmm. I have had great accountants. No one has ever told me, hey, what about this? What about that? You know, it's kind of, it's very hard to find someone on the accounting side.
It is.
Cares more than just like figure it out at the end of the year and then send you a bill. But that book actually recommends like profit first accountants, which I'm kind of going through now. People who will help you see the future. And that's important, not only on finances, but marketing, branding, and having like that personal advisory board of people who you can call on for different aspects. I saw Vivian is watching, good friend of mine for many years. She's my design person, you know, like you just have to have people you can go to and say,
good people. Yes.
This is not what I know how to do. Mm-hmm. I had designed a Ignite logo and I used it because it was cheap and easy and I needed to get something out. And then I asked her to redesign it and it was like, why did I bother? A whole year wasting my time with this horrible logo. And she pulled one up in a few days. So the team is really critical.
It is. And having, to your point, having the right people on the team that understand your vision, understand your ideas. And, you know, to your point, it's fine. Like I definitely have worked with a number of accountants until I found one that I like right now. But it's one of those works in progress. Like there may be something I learn a year from now that now I need to switch what that looks like and add somebody else to it. So it's kind of a work in progress. But I think if you look overall for that quality, and just like you said, you get someone that sees your vision, like takes your idea, takes it to the next level, then also be willing to invest in them and in yourself in that process. You know, the other thing I think that's critical too is for entrepreneurs is we have to find ways to invest in both ourselves as individuals, invest in ourselves as being a leader. So one of the things that I find commonly that blocks people from earning more money a lot of times is their money story. And I don't want to get woo-woo on it, but that's a lot of times what it is. Like people have a block of a fear of success, or they have a block around dealing with money because of for whatever reason. Until you invest in yourself and you invest in your business overall, and you're willing to put all that crap on the table, look at it, figure out what you want, and then learn how to change the pattern. You can read that profit first book all you want and you're not going to make changes.
Yeah.
And that I think is one of the challenges, is because people have to be willing to say, all right, there's some stuff I bring to, there's some great stuff I bring to the table, right? And then there's some stuff, you know, it don't look so good. Be willing to look at both of those things and get support in figuring out, how do I think through this? How do I work past this? Because otherwise that's what's going to limit your business. You know, they say right now, women-owned businesses, on average, we're earning about $150,000 a year across the country in terms of women-owned businesses. Yeah, but the number that male-owned businesses have...
Is it a little bit higher?
It's well, try to kind of double or triple that number depending upon the industry. So yeah. And I don't think it's because, and this right now is not a stab at men at all. It's the complete opposite. I don't think it's because women aren't talented at what they do. I think we are extremely talented, but I think we have to think about business in a different way and use those things that are our strengths to our strengths. We build relationships really well a lot of times, but then also get some coaching, get some advice, get some support on those areas that are gonna help you think bigger picture. You know, one of the things I'm challenging my clients right now is, you're saying you don't have a lot of time to work on your business, totally get that, but how can you still think bigger than just a lifestyle business? Because a lifestyle business, the minute you get sick or the minute your family member needs help, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're screwed.
There's a big difference between like a business that's technically sustaining itself, mm-hmm. and a successful business. And it's, I think a lot of people think that that gap, that difference is a bigger staff, but I don't think so at all. I think this solo entrepreneurs like us who rely on a great team, but we don't have a huge staff. The difference really is in our thought process, our vision and our planning. And that goes a long way. I mean, for the last few years, that's been a big transition. And suddenly you realize, wait, I need this to do more than just give me a salary.
Yes.
Because the day I can't put in the same number of hours, I'm out of business. That's a scary point. And a lot of women in particular, not that this is an episode about that, but I guess now it is.
Of course, why not?
Hey, a lot of women end up having to take care of children,
yes.
older family members. You know, there's a lot that comes into play that takes you away from being able to work 90 hours a week. And then, you know, what do you do with your business?
So 1,000%. And the story that I will tell for 10,000 lifetimes was the time frame when my mother got ill and unfortunately passed. But I will say for a gazillion years, I will be forever grateful to having been an entrepreneur at that point in my life, because I had a very small young child who needed obviously constant supervision. And then I have my ailing mother who needed, it varied, but she really needed a lot of help. Like it went from her being 100% independent to me every single day having to spend hours with her. The only way that I was able to do that and still have half a head was because I had built some of those systems already. A lot of them, to be frank with you, I didn't even know they were systems, but that's okay. It works. So, it doesn't have to be this thing where it's like all formalized and like, you know, planned or whatever. I had done the work of building those long-term relationships from day one, figuring out ways of duplicating the work that I'm doing so that I don't have to be 1,000% involved in things, but yet also can still bring money in. My business still made money. And yet every day I'm spending anywhere between, 2 to 3 to 4 hours with my mother based upon whatever needs that she needed at that particular point. That they say right now in our age generation, that is a key theme that's going to unfortunately happen to all of us. Yeah. You're going to be dealing with elder parents or family members that need a lot of care and support. You also have young children that you're going to be working with. And then there's the, I actually want to have a life in the middle, you know? And it's not to depress. I don't think it should be as a depressing thing. I think it should be a galvanizing, like, let's think about this differently. How do we do this in a way where I can maximize my efforts so I'm not trading dollars for hours, but I'm actually still going to be in business where people are. I mean, I transferred a lot of business where I was able to do things virtually or via video. And I mean, I literally remember doing one training class, no exaggeration. My mother was in, the hospital room. I turned the camera to the side. We did the class right there in person. Yeah. And for me, that was revolutionary, but that's how I think we have to think so that we're able to kind of provide a level of support to our family, but also grow our businesses.
Yeah. I mean, the business is a great tool if it works for you, but if you end up only working for your business, it becomes a huge hassle when those moments happen. And then you realize I can't lessen the workload on my business or I'll lose it.
Right.
Bad position to be in. So let this be a wake up call to all those watching. This is the stuff we have to think about now before we need it.
Yes. So
and, successful business.
So things where, and let me break down like a couple quick things if I can, based upon what you're saying. So first and foremost, I would definitely look to being able to figure out ways to train people around you so that you are not the only thinking person of that entity. I think that that's key number one. So I had a couple people around me at that time that I had long before she had gotten sick, had started kind of giving them different tasks and giving them ownership. Like, I don't want to do the day-to-day stuff. Here's what I need to get done. Go for it. And I think building those systems in even before you're ready is something that is critical to think about. The second thing that I would also say is to give yourself forgiveness, because there are going to be points when you can, that was not a point where I could spend a lot of time growing my business. And I knew that. And I was very clear about that, but there were some things in place that I could focus on. So it's that 80-20 rule. You know, I'd knock off 80% of what I was doing, focus on the 20. And then from the 20, literally that's how my family was able to sustain itself, was from that 20. So I think if you think like that now, put those things in motion now, then regardless of whatever life serves you, you've already put a plan in place that allows you, the freedom to do things. And the crazy part is, because of that time frame, then I've literally revolutionized how I've done business nowadays, where I don't spend the amount of time that I used to spend before on a lot of tasks. I've kept some of those patterns up.
Whether it's because of family situations or children coming into your life or bad economies, that moment when you have to get down to the 20% that actually provides profit and doesn't take 9,000 years is revolutionary, because then suddenly you're like, what was I doing spending time on that other 80%?
Precisely.
And it is. You completely transition your business into something that it was not before. And it opens all, like you said, virtual meetings and stuff, it opens up all kinds of possibilities if you know how to use them.
Yeah.
A few good comments coming in.
So good. Come on. What we got?
You have some fans, Maya.
Oh, let me find out.
So Bonnie Brown is an amazing woman who is a dog trainer. She runs Dog Trainers Connection. And she's a client of Maya's. And I've also worked with her on a few projects. And she says, Maya, as my coach, has helped me get past my fear of success by always bringing me back to the impact of what our business has brought to the field of educating dog trainers. And in the long run, the dogs that have been helped. So the impact is a huge one. I think that's something everyone has to focus on. And that gets you out of the mindset of like, it's about me. I'm totally a thought leader. You know, you have to make that impact. And you and I were just talking about this.
We surely were. I think it's Jessica. Oh, much love, much love. I mean, another woman who's making impact as well too. So Jessica is a fellow speaker as well. And actually came out with me to California and did an amazing, amazing presentation with young people in terms of dealing with challenges and dealing with trauma that is in their lives and how to overcome that. I think is definitely on her game as well too. So yes, much love and many, many, many hugs to both of them. The impact is where it's at. I think there's a lot of people that are focusing on the woo-woo of the impact now, and they don't have actual, they're not producing anything, you know? Yeah. But I think those of us, a lot of times that actually do the work, we have to be reminded about that because we get caught up in the weeds. I know I do. You get caught up in the day-to-day and you don't step back and look at the impact you've made. So for example, this year I started doing a couple of things where I've been very intentionally measuring what are the number of people that I'm working with? I literally started measuring. I mean, I do it in QuickBooks anyhow, but I literally started measuring what is the amount of money each month that I'm earning, where I'm like writing it on a post-it note and just starting to track and quantify a lot of things that in the past, it's just day to day. You know, like, okay, I got 5 meetings, I got this project, I got that project. And it's pretty powerful. When I step back and looked at the number of people, for example, that I've spoken to, which for me is one of those things I don't often measure, you're like, oh my gosh, it was that many people that like, and you need that as an entrepreneur, because when you're going out and you're hearing no, mm-hmm. and you're trying to put those long-term plans, and you have to be reminded, no, I've made an impact already where 2,000 people this year were impacted by the work that I did.
Yeah.
Like that's powerful. And that then can fuel you. Then when you hear the no, you're like, okay, all right, no problem. And let's go on, because there's 2,001 that I need to find.
Exactly. Yeah, that's amazing. I think everyone should do more of that. Measuring, first you have to know what impact you're trying to make so that you can measure it, but then measuring it so that you see the progress, because like you said, it's easy to get in the weeds.
Oh yeah.
And then, you know, you look back. I talk to a lot of people who have been in business, you know, 5-7 years, and they're at that point where it's like, is it even worth going forward? It you know, it's like it either has to get better or I'm just mm-hmm. gonna sit down at this point. And I think for a lot of people, seeing the impact they've made, I know when I was going back and making my list of past clients that I told mm-hmm. you I missed, I was doing that since our last conversation. And I was thinking, man, there's been a lot of really cool people that I've worked with. But yes. I don't even remember some of them, because mm-hmm. move on so fast, you know, mm-hmm. you don't take the time to celebrate the moments. And honestly, sometimes in the moment, it's too annoying. Like the client in the moment seems
yes.
And I was glad to get it off. Uh-huh. Then you look back and you're like, wow, I learned a lot from that. It was a really good experience. I would, you know, a lot of them you'd work with again. It's just in the moment, especially, I guess, in the events industry. It's like, so
get them away.
Yeah. Pretty intense. But yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, the impact thing, I started doing it a couple of years ago. It was given to me by a coach to do it from a sales perspective. And from a sales activity, I mean, I've known in the past where my ebbs and flows were with my company, where money is coming in. But one of the things that she said was to start watching it much more intentionally, so that even when those points when you know it should dip, like, because that's the cycle your business has, that you're really starting to think more creatively about, well, what can happen? What could I be doing that I'm not doing right now? And it's interesting. I kept up doing that activity. It's a powerful one to have to look at, honestly, like what your business is making and see like on a month to month basis, like, and I just do it on a sticky note, like nothing complicated, but just to see month after month, that even though I can see that in QuickBooks, I think there's something powerful about you looking at that. And then I started looking at other areas, you know, like to your point with an event, like I know when I finish a lot of times the different events that I'm working with, you know, you're just like, oh my gosh, that's over with, you know, but you know, employees, I think this is one of the things that employees do well when you have a performance review, where you have to step back and look at what I do well with that. You know, I think we should give ourselves performance reviews and really step back and look at, well, what was it that I took away from that experience? What was it that changed because I was there? And, you know, a little secret that if you start putting that out there, starts getting new clients for you, because then other people say, hey, well, we want that experience as well too. And meanwhile, you're just all excited because you realize your business made an impact, you know? So I think it's a win-win for everybody by doing that.
Absolutely. Now you and I could like literally talk for more than 3 hours.
Of course we could.
last time I was like, when we had coffee last week, I couldn't even believe it was 3 hours. I was like, I have so much more to say though. We didn't even get to chat yet.
I know.
But we are already out of our time. No. I'm sure that everyone who's watching, clearly you already have a few fans, but anyone new to Maya is thinking that they love you and they want to hear more. So where would people find you? I can put links obviously on the video, but how do you want people to contact you?
I appreciate it. So first, it's pretty simple to just do at Maya Haridat on most of the social media. That's usually my handle on most social media. So Instagram, Facebook, it's pretty easy to track me down via that way. You can also visit my website, which for simplicity's sake, I have as mayaharidat.com. Thanks so much, Vivian. I appreciate that. I really do. It's always good to have a community of love when you do these events. And so I would encourage people to reach out. I'm going to be doing two workshops that I'm in the process now of planning that I'm pretty excited that dive into topics that I think far too often are not being discussed and talked about. But it's that thing of like, how can I help you plant roots so that a year from now you're looking back at your business and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's doing this. So I'm going to be doing one in early September and one in late September. If people want to join those sessions, I'll share more details about what goodness is going to happen. It's all interactive, so no worries. I'm not standing up there. Folks know I don't stand up there and talk. No. We don't do that. But if they join my newsletter on my website, then I'll be more than happy to offer discounts for anyone as part of the Event Hustlers crew that you have here. So I'd be more than happy to offer that.
Awesome. And I'm going to come up with an idea right now.
Ooh.
Throw it out. Of course, I did not tell you, but
bring
I know to roll with whatever. You and I are both based in Westchester County.
Yes, we are.
You see the Bonnie's on here. Vivian's in the area. Sheila's also watching. She's from Columbus, Ohio, so she's a little farther away. But the coffee chat that we had last week was so good. So maybe we should just have like a continuation of this.
Bring it.
For real life. Mm-hmm. And whoever can join. And maybe we'll make it like a working session and hang out a little bit.
Totally. I love it. I walked away so inspired. So kind of like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. So I say the more the merrier. Let's bring it on. Let's do it.
I agree. Well, thank you so much for taking your time to talk about all kinds of things. And to all the people who are watching, thank you for your comments and all your love. It is clear that Maya is very well loved. And she has so much great information to offer entrepreneurs. And we always have a really good time just chatting it up and talking about various things. If you would like to continue the conversation, definitely do so in the chat. And we do have the Event Hustlers Facebook group, so you can always ask your questions in there. And, you know, talk about things that this inspired you to think about. So thank you so much to everyone for joining. We will be back next Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern with another amazing guest. And until then, I ask all of you to hustle hard and stay in touch. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Maya.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.